listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Oh, I can feel redemption on the wind. Forgiveness like the tide rolling in, taking up the space where shame has lived, receiving all that you died to give.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. I'm LaWann Linekin, and I'm with...
James Rich.
He's back. Okay, so last week we were on air with Pastor Tom at the King's Table, King Jesus' table, and he'll be back again this month. Usually it's the third month, the third Friday, so that will possibly be March 21st. And just to remind everyone about Workforce Discipleship Center, for people who are working, that are struggling paying rent or finding themselves homeless, it's a place you can go to see if it fits for you to live there and, be part of a community. And my number is 631-745-7980, and you can always call the office there at 772-207-6925, and you can ask questions and they will be answered. Okay, so with that, where we ended with step 10, which is a daily inventory, reviewing yourself during the day, and it also improves our conscious contact when we do that, when we're aware of how we're speaking, how we're thinking, and how we're acting. Does it line up with God's Word? Does it line up with the new person that I am, the new creation, what Jesus Christ died for me to be, to give me new life more abundantly, right? So if I find myself responding negatively or in ungodly ways, when I say even unholy, they could still seem right, seem good. You know, most people do good things, but they're not ordained. They're not holy. They're not, given by God. So we do things out of order or out of His presence, because maybe we're doing it unto ourselves. Even though it's good to give, why am I giving, right? And most people, like myself included, I would, after I gave up drinking and drugging and living a certain way, I would say that I really tried to be a good person. And if anybody asked me if I was, a sinner, I would have said, well, everybody says things and, does little things every once in a while, but I'm nothing like I used to be. And I'm a good person. And God knows I'm a good person, And that's what, obviously, the enemy wants us to stay focused on things like that rather than really loving God and being in a relationship with God. Because when I did sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as I understood Him, He started to show me who He was, and my understanding started to shift and change and get transformed to understanding Him the way He wanted me to understand Him, not the way I chose to understand Him. So there's a flip that should happen, and that's what the 11th step is about. So it's seeking God, God consciousness. It's being in His presence. It's experiencing Him, being able to hear His word, Him speak to you, and knowing Him intimately. So the 11th step is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will There's the little. I probably left that out a lot, right? Of His will for us and the power, the Holy Spirit power, the ability to carry it out. And we should, at this point, if we are God centered, if we are born again Christians, and we are applying, if Jesus, God, is in the center of all our affairs and in the steps, including Him, because I've done these steps a lot of times just by my own works, not being born again, you know, and then I done them in the beginning of my born again experience, yes, with some revelation, but as I continue to apply them in my life with God first, seeking Him first through them, I grow and I understand, and my relationship with Him has gotten more and more intimate, and His voice has gotten louder and louder, more clear, I should say. It sounds louder. It's probably the same tone, but the world got lower, and He got more clear through it all. So when we say sought through prayer and meditation, I just want to say there's two parts to that. It's not only talking in prayer, but meditation, listening to the response, listening to direction, listening to His still, soft voice. And when we hear Him, when we're meditating on His word being played in our hearts, in our minds, is Him speaking to us. It's meditating, it's listening. And usually when I'm going through something, I was just talking to Karen in the other room, and she was like, yeah, the song kept coming up for me all night. And I'm like, that, and I didn't tell her that, but that happens to me too. I'll wake up with a song in my heart, and it's usually to confirm something or to lead me somewhere, you know, and I pay attention to those things, you know, or I'll hear a scripture, and that's His voice talking to me. You know, even if it sounds like my own voice, it's His, because it's His word. And a song that He's using His word through. So I was just about to tell James a story about the 11th step for me. And I said, wait, I'm going to hold off because I want to share it with everybody. So when I was walking to the car just a little moment ago to get my material for this, the teaching, God says, you remember when you used to think the 11th step was a step of just doing nothing? I do. I was like, oh, that's an easy step. I don't really have to do anything. Maybe go to church every once in a while, you know, like, or, you know, because I was, my idea of God was, well, He's all around me. And, you know, like, it wasn't like a relationship. It was just like, God is here and He loves me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's good. And if I just, you know, tell Him how much I love Him, it would say a prayer, the Our Father or something, then He knows that I think about Him every once in a while. But it's so different today. That mm-hmm. that step for me, because it's a God consciousness, and it does transform us into that if we practice it properly, if we co-chair, cooperate, co-join the Holy Spirit. He's always following Christ, or Jesus. He's always following Jesus, and Jesus is where? Seated at the right hand of the Father. So it's one. They're one in us. So let's see, the fruit that we grow is spiritual maturity. In this, it's spirituality, because we're getting more mature in our growth of our spirit man, is getting more revelation, more understanding, because we're standing under understanding God's way, God's will, God's plan, God's purpose. It's not God, I need you to help me with this. It's God, how can I help you with this today? It's joining Him and His plan and what He's working on and what He wants to do. I want to say something? I know you're smiling.
Well, I'm trying not to. There's like, as you're going, I'm several things. I'm like, oh, don't forget the door.
Again, say it.
Because first you
don't
were.
Say it.
Well, the first thing was when you're talking about giving, and I thought, yeah, codependent people give more because they, you know, can't say no, and they give right. and give, and they're.
But it's right.
And I was really bad at that, and when God sent that woman. When I was going through that time 20 some years ago, the fast 40 days for me from another state, that was just, praise God, got me through some, but and delivered some. But and then she started being around me, some trying to help me, and you know, because you can't see it when you're in it. She says, you know, James, you're helping a lot of people. I just want you to know, you're not gonna have any blessings from God for what you're doing. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, God does not want you doing all that for all these people. He's not leading you in that. you're doing that because you have a victimization spirit.
Amen.
And so then it changed. The way I had to stay in the beginning, because it was hard, was I'd tell myself, because I really love the Lord, and someone asked me, and I knew, like, I shouldn't. I think, I am not going to disobey God. And I,
yeah,
to help myself get stronger and mm-hmm. stand and say no. And then the other thing, when you're talking about the songs,
but can I just say, add to that?
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what I was saying. It's like sometimes we, especially coming out of addictions or like abusive, most of our relationships are abusive, even if they appear to be loving when we don't have the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Because we're using people, you know, that's pretty abusive. Even though we're giving, like you're saying, right? So that's what we're saying. We're saying it's a heart matter. It's a, you know, you're the case of, even though we're giving, like you're saying, right? Sometimes a lot of guilt, you give out of guilt. You know, you're trying to make up for all the things you've done in the past, and you just give, because that's one of the ways I was giving, you know, and you're, and then it's not anointed, it's not the power of God in it. It's your power, and yes, it could appear that, you know,
God. And as we know, it goes even deeper, like, because you start manipulating the pieces, because, you know, I have people, like, the first thing they'll ask, a lot of people that are in, you know, dependency type things, they'll, like, if, say, I said, hey, I want you to minister to, say, somebody in my family, or somebody I know, a lot of people, the first question they'll ask is, say, well, who's the codependent person, because there's somebody always around them, 99% of the time, anyway, and, but it's very hard to talk to those people, usually, because they feel like, I mean, I have one that finally got out of it. Her son finally got through a program and stuff, but it took years. You know this person.
Mm-hmm.
They went to our church.
Amen.
But she,
praise the Lord.
Awesome.
Good news.
Woman helped me out a lot with insurance and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so hard talking to her, because they always got to answer, well, if I don't do this, this will happen. If I don't do that, that'll happen. And it's hard to pull back, you know, but it's like, is God leading? You got to really pray.
That's why prayer and meditation is important.
No,
conscious
what
contact.
What is leading you to do?
Exactly, seeking Him first. And what was the other thing you wanted to share?
Well, you mentioned the songs.
Yeah,
I was like, should I mention that? Because I've had where being in deliverance and stuff, like songs that come in my head that aren't good songs, and I just put, I don't know if it's just maybe a God thing, because I can put godly words.
Amen.
The people that can rap and stuff, mm-hmm. I just do that, and I start singing them with godly words, and then they stop, because if I rebuke it, they don't. Well, I was going through this time about 15 years ago. I was just so down, like the enemy is just on me, and I was trying to just get the feeling better, and some stuff happened, and the song comes in my head, I feel good, and I just feel like I was feeling the Holy Spirit. I just, this joy would come on me, but I'm like, that's not God, you know, and I'm rebuking it. And I said, I feel good, like a Christian should. And it's going on for days, and I'm rebuking, and Jason was with me. I'm like, rebuke this song, man. I can't get this thing out of my head. And then, so it was like 2 weeks later, this guy gave someone up north my number for, she was asking about dream interpretation, and he said, I know somebody, and they called me. So I'm helping her with the dream she had, and she goes, you know, this is going to sound really weird, but God gives me songs for people, and they're not Christian songs. They're like usually just like worldly songs, and I'm sitting there going, no way. And she says, I was in a church recently. They didn't know me, and I asked, and they thought I was crazy, but each one I gave the song, the pastor was like, man, that was so God. And God's been giving me this song for you. I'm going, no way. She's like, it's the James Brown song. You're going, no. And it was that song.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, man, I've been rebuking that for 4 days. She goes, no, that was the Lord.
So I just thought that was a neat story. Too, that keeps coming up for me, and it's from Lionel Richie, Just to Be Close to You, but it's to God.
Yeah.
You know, and I changed the words. It's my love song. It's our wedding song. So, yeah. And sometimes even, you know, Pastor Latasha has gotten songs, you know, for the new year that have totally, you know, manifested and been, you know, revealed through the year of when she would prophesy over a song, you know, in our church, which, mm-hmm. so songs are really, if it's word, you know, and especially when God's speaking, He will meet us where we're at. Like, he uses the language we need, you know, the stuff that we need. And we know when it's from from God, because God will send somebody if we're rebuking it. And it's him, because he loves us so much. He doesn't want us to miss him, because it's all leading to him. You know, every time he gives us a word, it's to reveal himself in who he is, his character, his name, his mission, you know, what he wants to do, the plan that he has, you know, the purpose. Mm-hmm. So, and if we seek him first, right, that's the scripture. So when mm-hmm. we put him in and say, God, is this from you? And then pray on it and, you know, ask him, we lack because we don't ask. So, and he will reveal it. He's faithful and true. So one of the things I want, so spirituality is the fruit. And when I say spirituality, I mean spiritual growth, a greater understanding, a more intimate love relationship with God when we meditate and pray daily with him to improve our conscious contact with him, you know, in our heart, right? So and what is spirituality is to believe that there is something greater than myself, a divine nature, the quality of being concerned with the human spirit and soul. So that's the Holy Spirit, right? He's concerned. He wants us to transform and be like Jesus here on earth. You know, that's his job, is to get us to fulfill God's plan and purpose, is to walk as Jesus walked here, be his feet, his hands, his eyes, his mouth here on earth,
and life,
his whole life, right? And so in physical things, so that sounds like this is description of faith. You know, it's like we see it, we know it, because the word is before anything, so it's already here. We mm-hmm. just have to manifest it as we believe in our faith, you know, and we talk it out and we walk it out, we think it out with the Lord. So faith and persistence, that's one of the foundations of step 11, is, you know, building our faith and our persistence, our perseverance, which we love that word, patience and perseverance, right? And that's love, because that's the description of love. And it's, you know, worshiping. I used to be faithful to using, to the behaviors of using and thinking, faithful to money, and when I let money dictate my life, you know, I was faithful to the behaviors of how that made me behave, the desire to have money, the desire to have drugs, the desire to act out sexually. I would be a slave to the character and the what I was believing in, the faithing in that was going to fill me, restore me, repair me, love me, comfort me, everything that God does for me. And just that, as I was faithful to the worldly goods and beliefs and traditions, I turn it, because when I repent, I turn, right? It's not only just repenting for sinful behaviors, but it's repenting, turning my life, my thinking, everything towards God, to say, okay, here I am, I'm willing. Have all of me so that you can do what you need to do, so that I can be used by you completely. So I want to break this down. Sought through prayer. Sought means to seek out, attempt to find, desire to obtain, to go to. We want to go towards God, go in his direction, sought him out, seek first the kingdom of God. Through prayer, and that's talking, requests, fast, singing, dancing, expressions of thanks and praise addressed to God. I used to address them to people, places, and things. Now my focus is on God. Hallelujah. And people, places, and things are led towards me instead of me being focused on running towards them to get my supplies. Hallelujah. And then meditation. And meditation is to listen, wait, yield. Let God, through your thoughts, show you visions and dreams. And I was at a meeting yesterday, and we were talking about visionaries and everything. And there are areas of my life where I am a visionary. I see it. It happens, especially when it comes to building homes and preparing home, you know, hospitality. Those are the things, you know, like seeing kingdom recovery. That's visionary stuff, right? Well, when you're meditating with God and you're talking, you're praying, and then you meditate, he's going to show you things along the way. He'll complete it in your mind, and that's where faith comes in. I see it. I know it is, and I'm going to walk this out with him and trust, faith and trust with the Lord. So to improve, so we sought through prayer and meditation to improve, and that means to make or become better. We want to be made free. That means developed. He's creating us to be in his image and likeness. He's already created us to be, but here on earth, now that we've been born again, we still have a lot of old stuff in our stored in our minds and in our words and in our thoughts, that as the Holy Spirit leads and teaches and guides us, those things will start to wash away and the new starts to come. Praise the Lord. And our mind gets renewed, washed, a brainwashing. That's basically what we need. The Holy Spirit, he's our brainwasher. Hallelujah. To improve our conscious, which is our awareness, our awakening, our intentional purpose, God's intentional, what we're doing, you know, our consciousness, when we're awake, how we're viewing life, how we're pursuing life, you know, is it through the eyes of God? Because that's the way he wants us to see things and to be conscious of him and his will, his way, his plan. So we improve our conscious contact, and that's the relationship, to touch, to meet with, to give or receive information, to do something. If I don't, I can be married, but if I never go, if you know, my husband could be in the house, but if I never, just because he's in the house doesn't mean I know him. I have to spend time with him. I have to talk with him. I have to listen to his heart and respond and share our thoughts and cooperate. Sometimes I was doing tasks with other people today, learning how to make space for other people to come in and cooperate with you, you know, and me cooperate with them. That's hard for me because it's been me and God. You know, it's hard for me to let others to come in and say, okay, I'll look at it the way you see it, you know. But it's practice, and I'm open and willing to do that. Praise the Lord, because it's time in my life, you know. God says, okay, now it's time to let other people share the loads. You know, the last couple of years, it's been like that, so it gets easier. Hallelujah. So we want to be in contact with God daily. We want to be in his presence. So with God, as we understand him, and that's knowledgeably aware of his character. If I don't know him, how can I understand him? And knowing in the Bible is intimacy. It's producing a baby, basically. Because when Adam knew Eve, they had children. You know, when Sarah and Abraham were intimate, they knew. He knew his right. It's an intimacy. So we're going to produce something together, God and I. Hallelujah. So to praying only for knowledge of his will. Now, this is the key, because for my whole life, I always wanted to, you know, God, do this for me and I'll do that for you. You know, it was always like either a negotiation
or a
foxhole prayer. And I know people who are in recovery or in 12-step groups or in therapy know what I'm talking about. That foxhole prayer where you'll do anything to get out of that situation for another opportunity to get by. And then we forget about our commitment. And even in a foxhole prayer, I believe this because that's how I got to God.
He answers.
You know,
a lot of
he answers. And the whole thing is, do I continue in my part of the commitment? I'm not going to say bargain. I'm going to say a commitment. Because if I make a vow with you, I should keep my vow. Let my yes be yes, my no be no. So if I don't keep my commitment, then I'm not trustworthy, and God can't use an untrustworthy person. So it eventually, I don't hear his voice anymore because I'm so busy listening to myself. I'm not even going to say the world, because I'm louder than the world when I want to be.
The funny thing is how God knows everything. And like when you do say a foxhole prayer, and he knows Well, I'm going to answer this, and then you're going to run around another 6 years and devastate another 3,000 people in your life. And then you're going to come back because you're going to be in prison again and praying again on June 4th, 19, whatever. You know? And he knows all that, and he does it anyway. He's just so awesome.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. So at prayer only for the knowledge of his will. And his will is the word. Consent. What is will? I'll say this. His will is his word. If we don't know his word, we don't know his will. So we need to sit with him and learn that. But the word will means word, consent, habitual, behavior, virtues, values, character. So I want to know God's character. I want to know his virtues. I want to know his values. I want to be habitual like God is. God does not stop pursuing us like James just said. You know, I want to pursue him in the same manner because he lives in me. He's going to want to pursue himself through me. Hallelujah. That's what the Holy Spirit, he wants to pursue Jesus. He's always following God. Hallelujah. So for us and the power, what's the power? The power is the Holy Spirit, the breath of God inside of us. Hallelujah. Right? It's anointed. He's anointed. The anointed one is in us. The Holy Spirit will give us power and anointing. It's way different than just like we were saying in the beginning of this. To do God's work, his will, first of all, it's a lot more, there's adjustments that need to be made. When you're in God's will, 99% of the time you're adjusting your will, your life, to be able to serve him properly. And that's when you know you're in his will. If you're still holding on to your old ideas and everything, then you're still trying to do it your way. And it's not going to be blessed, anointed, and as powerful. It might have some of that, but it's not Holy Spirit. It's not eternal. Hallelujah. Which is beyond. So to carry, and that means to take, support, and move someone or something from one place to another. We want to carry his word from one place to another, his will, his virtues, his character. So wherever we go, we want the power to carry that out. We want to carry that out wherever we go. And what is that? The word, Jesus, God, we want to carry him wherever we go. He lives and dwells in us. So wherever we are is a piece of heaven, holy ground. It should be. People should see that and want more of what, when you're around, they want to draw near to you because you're representing God. You're representing Father, Son, Holy Spirit in you. Your words, your actions, your love, your mercy and grace. That's a hard one. Your forgiveness when it's difficult. You know, that's when they see God the most. So as his will is in heaven, it will through our relationship with him be on earth. Okay, it's a spiritual contract, a spiritual contact that we have with God. You know, we're in business with God. In Pastor Tom's, it's God and Sons he uses. You know, it's a cooperation. A corporation is a cooperation or co-join, cohabit, right? So daily bread is Matthew 4:4. It says, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He also said, it is written in 4:7. Again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And he said in 4:10, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. So I wrote little things. The first one, when in 4:4, when Jesus answers, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's like the Old Testament. You know, like that's, he went to the prophets, the burning bush. It was God himself. It was Father God himself talking to man, trying to get the relationship with man. And then it says, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And that for me is Jesus Christ. And that's talking at that moment with the disciples in the New Testament and how he became flesh and walked amongst the people and talked how God was with us, right? And then in away with you, Satan. So I have Father, Son, and now the Holy Spirit's in me, right? The Lord, your God, and him only you shall serve. That's obedience. The Holy Spirit power can come when we're obedient to the word, and the enemy flees because we're using the word in the name of Jesus, his word, he is the word, to speak to ungodly things, things that are going against God in our minds or in our heart. And we speak the word out. So, and then the devil
has that authority.
That's right.
And recognizing the enemy.
Right. And it says after that, it says, and behold, which means to see, angels came to minister to him. Hallelujah. And that's what it feels like when you finally get freedom, right? Like you get, oh, that's the rhema in your heart. Like, I know that I know. Your faith grows. You just feel like so powerful inside when you come on the other side of that circumstance that you've been speaking the word over, and then it manifests.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Right? So ministered means to attend to the needs of someone, and God cares for us. And in the third step, it says turn your will and your life over to the care, the ministering of God. He wants to talk with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to share with us everything in our lives, right? And it's divine grace and his anointing. So in Matthew 4:17, is right after all of that, what does it say? What does Jesus go out and say? Repent. Turn around. Stop thinking the way you're thinking. Stop doing the things you're doing. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that is step 10. That's the one right before this where we repent. Did I do anything, say anything that I probably shouldn't have? Do I need to like clean my heart, Lord? Do I want to be right in your presence? I want to be right in your eyes. You know, that's soul searching. That's heart searching. And God likes that when we do that with him.
Yeah, you're supposed to do that before communion.
Amen. That's right. It's very serious. It
is. Sick from and dying from taking it unworthily.
Mm-hmm.
And it's most revivals came out of people repenting.
Amen. Amen.
Pensacola, that guy.
We're not trying to condemn anybody, but it is serious. It's scripture. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to come with a clean heart. And all you have to do is, if before you receive, just go to the Lord in 2 seconds in your heart and your mind and just say, Father, is there anything that I need to look at? Forgive me, Father, if I've done anything. And then receive.
Yeah, about 12 years ago, the Lord, when I say spoke to me, I mean, there's times he's spoken where I've heard him, and there's times he speaks through impression or knowing or vision. So this was more impression, but it was very strong. I read the scripture that, woe to you Pharisees, you come to me teaching to tithe mint and rue, but teach not the judgment of God and the love of God. You ought to have not left the first undone, but to taught the rest of it, basically, paraphrasing. And then the Lord, it just kind of me is, yeah, now my people teach tithing and the love of God, but they leave out the judgment of God. And when not to fear him, if you're walking obedient, you know, then I don't fear him.
No, but fear, but the fear of the Lord is love and reverence.
Yeah.
It's so different. Yeah. I used to fear him like, oh my God, I don't want to go to hell, or I don't even think that way anymore. It's just fear of the Lord is, I love him so much, you know. And I choose. I don't feel like I have to not do these things. I feel like I choose not to do them out of love and reverence and fear of the Lord. Not because of him being mad at me. He's not mad at me. He loves me no matter what. He loved me when I was in my worst possible way. You know, it's about pleasing him.
And I came in from love. And you'll notice people, like, if you go to, like, someone that's preaching damnation and fear and getting people saved, that it seems like that only lasts for a little while, and the fear wears off, and then they're not there anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas the people that come in through the love are the ones that get the relationship. And
yeah, because once you fail, when you come in the other way, you feel like, well, what's the point? I messed up anyway. You know what I mean? And that's not the mindset. We want a sweet aroma, good food at the table, so that people want to eat more. Like you're saying, when you give love, even when I cook, I always, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's so good. You know, my kids and everything. I'm like, why do you think it's good? They're like, because you put your love in it. That's right. Mm-hmm. It always tastes better when there's love. Mm-hmm. Right? It's the same thing with God. The food tastes better at his table because there's so much love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the 11th step is about spirituality, and it is staying in daily communion. And what is daily communion? It's the bread and water, the word of God, Holy Spirit communion, right? Food for your spirit, soul, and body. To actually be in the love relationship with Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. God, in his fullness, man, in his fullness, one, makes beautiful music together. It's harmony, you know? So when we're in that with God, no matter what is going on in your life, you stay there with the Lord. Daily communion keeps us awake. And that's our spiritual connection to the Holy Spirit, to not only live in that, not only that he lives in us, right, but he leads us and guides us into all truth. And he's the one that really is hungering and thirsting through us for more of the word. If we fully give him access, not only we're going to cooperate with him, he hungers and thirsts for the Lord, which causes us to hunger and thirst for the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, just as we need food and water to be in health and sustain us daily, you will find great joy in the Lord when you have daily bread with him, because it's in his presence, right? That is the fullness of joy. Praise the Lord. And that's where we want to be, in the fullness of his joy. So God conscious is being in his presence at all times. You know, even when I'm acting like a fool on the road, all right, I'm like, oh, Lord, forgive me. And I try to think about, like, what that person's going through, you know.
I want you to try something.
Go ahead.
You know, like the way we do the smoking thing that people get delivered. From now on, every time you get upset at somebody while you're driving, pray, just say, you know, the salvation thing, I think, just command the enemy to stop blinding our eyes to the truth and God to send laborers to him and light the eyes of their understanding into the knowledge of him. Just do that every time.
Yeah, the enemy, I do pray for them, but I will pray for the enlighten the eyes of their understanding. Yeah, my understanding, praise the Lord,
for the enemy to stop blinding their eyes.
Yeah. So, yeah, because I get impatient, you know, I have to be somewhere, or because of, you know, worry, now I'm believing a lie, or fear that they're going to be, like, today I was out in Fort Pierce, I'm like, I got to get back, and I'm thinking, nobody messed this up on the highway, nobody better mess my journey up here, you know, and I'm like, I better stop this right now, because what's the worst thing that can happen? This is what I'm going through. I just call up David. And I said, David, I got caught. There's something going on. And everything's going to be okay. And I came down from that moment. And I found peace. And then the flow started happening. And things started moving. And, you know, everybody was just doing their thing. Because I got my eyes off myself. You know?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. But it doesn't matter if I'm on the radio. It doesn't matter if I do ministry. It doesn't matter how many times I go into the jail to talk to the women or to, you know, do kingdom recovery. I'm human, and it's not an excuse. But as long as I'm in this flesh, I'm going to be vulnerable to even other people. And I have to learn how to behave myself and think in my mind and speak out of my mouth. So I have to be God conscious. So there's no immunity to this. This is life as a Christian.
You know? I mean, they've always said, and I've heard this since 1989, we got filled with the Holy Spirit, that people say, don't pray for patience because that brings troubles to you. And I can't say that's for sure, but I can tell you it sure seemed to happen that way in 35 years or however long it's been watching people. I'm like, that do pray for patience. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, but never, praying that never thank well. You that I have patience is the way we need to pray. Thank you that I have patience, Father, today. Yeah. Because I don't ask for things anymore like that. I just say, Father, thank you. And even in as I'm driving, thank you for, I was saying thank you for opening up the traffic, and it did. Sitting there, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna keep going. Thank you for letting people move. It was moving. Thank you, and it was just doing it. You know, it's fun to be with the Lord. He likes that, right? When we're having fun with Him. So that was my day today. That's a little example. So God conscious is being aware of and responding to one's surrounding, that He's in everything. If I can be aware that He's in everything, like I was sharing, it makes the day a lot easier, a lot more fun, and a lot less on me. More mercy and grace in my day, you know? Hallelujah. And when we say oneness with God, I know a lot of times, especially when we're in, certain, a place like AA or going to these rehabs or even hospitals, holistic kind of things. And, doing things naturally is, like taking vitamins. I'm not saying anything about that. But when we start doing yoga and stuff and when we're in oneness with God and we're emptying out our minds, that's a dangerous path. And I want to just say that a little bit. So when I say oneness with God, I'm not talking about like that yoga thing. It's really oneness with self, first of all. It's like you're still focused on your own self, but it's not emptying out our minds, but to fill our minds with God's word. It's not emptying out all our problems, let it go, and just be free. No, it's the more you fill your mind up with His word, those things start to filter out. It's like sifting, you fill up His word and that stays, and all that other stuff starts to go out.
And if you talk to people into that, usually they feel like they get a peace when they do it, but as the time goes on, they get
more
less
bound.
Able to withstand stress.
That's right. And they need more. It's the same thing like when we go to alternative things to find God in them outside the word, it feels good for a while, but either you're going to need more of it more often to try to, because you're brainwashing, because it's telling you need this in order to, or it stops working, like you said.
Yeah, and I want to say that because there's people unknowingly and like fire districts recommend people that are suicidal and stuff to do yoga. It's become a very common thing. And they just don't have a clue. So a lot of churches are doing
it. Yeah, it's not good.
And it's just, if you'll study the roots of that and the forms that you're taking, and I've just seen a lot of
deliverance. Because it's the posturing, even if you're doing it to Christian music, even if you're, reciting scriptures, it's what each form, each pose, I'll say, is a god.
Yeah, and the deliverance ministers will all tell you that for some reason that manifests more anger. That thing will rise up when you talk about that more than any other thing there is. Self-pity can get really bite your head off, but the yoga thing, they're like, why is it? And I don't know why, unless it just wants to stay hidden, but man, that really, so there could be people getting upset just hearing this talk.
Yeah, and I'm not, believe me, there's no one I want to upset. It's just that one, it's a good thing. If you are, that means something's going on, and maybe just bring it to the Lord. Let Him talk to you about it, seek, and you'll find.
Yeah, Greg Locke was doing meetings, 2,000 people would come. They started doing him and four other guys' deliverance meetings, and there was a lady that felt God led her to it, and she was doing it like in church and stuff, and she was going to the meeting, just never been to a deliverance meeting, and she started trying to jump out of the car at 70 mile an hour when they're getting close, didn't know what was happening, and she got delivered there and turned away from it, but they showed her in the video.
And what's the one with Henry Wright? Is that another one in the everybody? She started the one
where the lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, where the lady confessed yoga and stuff.
Yeah, can you share that one?
Yeah, he was teaching in California, which there's a lot of that in California, a lot of occultic stuff. And he's just trying to be real, tip through the tulips, 3,000 people, and the Lord.
He went there with another plan, you know, like a teaching, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, he's just talking, and he wasn't going to say anything about that. And the Lord, he said, this booming voice comes in, Henry, stop the crap and shut up. He said, audible. And he's like, he just freezes on stage in front of everybody, says, Lord, is that you? He said, I did not send you here to appease the devil. He said, what do you want me to do? And then he says he's talking, he's hearing him in his spirit. So I think it was audible, the first part. Mm-hmm. And he said, I want you to take on yoga and kundalini, and which is the spirit that you invite in with yoga, kundalini, and Eastern mysticism. He said, Lord, half these people are all into all that. They're all going to leave. He said, you do what I tell you. He said, the Lord told me to change the direction of this meeting, and I got to speak and explain yoga and kundalini and Eastern mysticism. And it was either one-third or two-thirds of the people stood up and just started walking out. Mm-hmm. He said, oh, Lord, I heard the devil. He said, get on. We got work to do. And they went till like 12 at night. And the next day they went till like 2 in the morning and 3 in the morning. People are excited. He's just getting real deep into explaining stuff. He's really good.
There's a lot of stuff. And you can Google that, some of his stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so Saturday they start at 9 in the morning. And then right in the middle of it, this really elegantly clothed Pakistani woman in all like the pride of her nationality stands up. The way she's dressed, and starts confessing that she practices yoga and Eastern mysticism. She's Seventh-day Adventist. She's convicted. And while she's talking, the Lord speaks to Henry and says, because this woman has been so transparent in front of all these people, I'm going to heal her of all her diseases. And she had 5 diseases. I don't remember. I know diabetes was one of them, these diseases of feet, and I don't remember the others. And when she got down, he told her to come up, and he told her, he said, first thing I'm going to do is cast kundalini out of from the yoga. And she started grunting and slapping him in the chest. And she said afterwards it wanted to rip his head off, but that's all it could do. And then it come out, and she was totally delivered. She was healed of all her diseases. A year later, he came back to California. She got her and gave her testimony. She's still totally healed of all her diseases. Praise so that's God. How much God loves transparency.
Yes,
that was all for transparency.
Being open.
He loves. If we'd all... People get delivered, you know, and they're like, don't tell anybody when you're done. No. They don't want anybody to know what happened. No, you know? But if they would open up, other people would get delivered because they would know it's real.
Yeah.
A lot of pride in America. Yeah. Biggest problem.
So when we meditate, and that's thinking on God's word, you light up your spirit, the spirit man in you, right? Then you can receive or you can grieve if you don't, you know, the light of the Holy Spirit, which will then light up or darken your body. It's up to you. You know, you could either meditate on the wrong things and grieve the Holy Spirit. What are you spending your thoughts on? Because time is valuable here. It's all we have of any heavenly value of, you know, I say monetary because there's a clock that we have to watch, but of any value. Heavenly value is our time. What are we spending our time on, our thoughts on, our words on, our actions on? You know, are they godly words or are they worldly words, beliefs?
I was complaining in my heart a lot about all the people God had me helping and, you know, and he directed me to help him, but it was just, I was like, hurt me financially, you know, and I was just starting to get really aggravated for like 6 months or a year, you know what I mean? Like, this is ridiculous, and ain't nobody else doing all this, and why me? And then I ended up in the hospital with colon cancer, and I didn't know if I was going to make it.
Right.
And they were in there a while trying to figure out what was wrong with me. My hemoglobins were real low, because nothing. I felt fine, and I was leaving for church, and my mom opens the door. I was taking care of her at the time, and she didn't. She knew I didn't go to doctors for like 10 years. I hadn't been to the doctor. She opens the door and says, God woke me up at 8 o'clock and told me to tell you to get a blood test. I knew you didn't want to hear it, so I didn't say anything. You walked out the door, and he said, tell him now. So I'm telling you now. I won't say another word. She shuts the door. I was like, oh, I know that's God. And then they're like, get to the hospital right now. Your hemoglobins were da 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 da. Like fall over dead or something. So I go in and they're trying to figure it out. And it was colon cancer.
Mm-hmm. So murmuring and complaining.
The whole time. Mm-hmm. Well, no, that's a self-accusation thing. Complaining was just, the purpose of that was, me mentioning that was, I was in there a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very clear. It was just me and the Lord, the world finally shut out. And it's just very clear to me that if I don't make it through this, that I will be standing before the Lord. And the only thing going with me is the time I spent for others.
Amen.
And I really repented of that while I was in there. And that's forgive me, Lord. And
hallelujah.
That's the only thing that
I
really matters.
I think about it all the time now. Like, you know, like the little things. God, I shouldn't say it comes up in to my awareness. It's even the little things, even being cute with like my animals. God's like, I like that. You know what I mean? Like the same as when I'm not cute with my animals.
Yeah.
I don't like that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like being kind, being thoughtful, loving.
Amen.
Words like, I hope my father is listening. This is a miracle, right? I love you, Dad. Because this would be the first time he's listening. But he's had, you know, some health stuff, and he's been in a rehab. And so I spend time with him. And it's like little things that taking direction, you know, like asking my dad to sing for me, to keep him engaged, to keep his, you know, he had a stroke, singing. And it's like at the same time as I'm walking, you know, around the building with him, God's ministering to me. Like, this is sweet. This is love. This is kindness. You know, this is patience. This is caring. And he's showing me more and more, like, where those moments are in my life. And that's for everybody. I mean, it's not just me. I mean, he wants to do this. We all have this access to him, which is beautiful. But, you know, as I'm experiencing it, I want to share it with people because we all get it. He did it for all of us. And it's such a wonderful experience when you experience God in your life, you know, even in those little moments.
It's all about the love, the real love, given love, you know.
Yeah.
Not in a sensual thing, but being, because when I first got into deliverance, I was getting free of so much stuff, but it's, I'm casting stuff out of everybody, people I shouldn't have been, unsaved people. It's coming out, though, but it's going back in a week later or whatever. But I started getting a little rigid. And I was listening to deliverance ministers that were rigid. I was learning from, and it just felt good being so free. And I seeking the Lord, he said, no, I created you tender. I want you to be tender to my people.
Amen. Tender-hearted. Yes. So God has to come first to all things in your life, in my life, in our life, in Christians' lives, believers, right? For all things in your life to be in love, peace, and joy. If you want to be in that, living in that, be that, then God needs to come first, because he is that, right? So seek the kingdom first and his righteousness day and night, and all these things that you need, the supply for whatever the assignment is, whatever his work is around you that he's asking, calling you to participate, to cooperate, to join in, make those adjustments, right? He is our God, the creator of all things, Abba Father. He is Lord, Savior, our refuge, comforter, defender. He's our lover. We used to hide behind bushes and sinful behaviors. I did before, and, you know, even sometimes now, you know, I have to catch myself. Worldly beliefs can do it to us, can make us hide guilt, shame, and remorse, and lies. But through our relationship with God, we can find refuge and walk in the light. He will supply all our needs to overcome life's trials and past hurts. God is all around us. Open your eyes. Awake. Wake up, O sleeper. So Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You want to share something? Go ahead.
Well, in Colossians 3:2 says, set your affections. This just goes with what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Set your affection on things above and not things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, in your members which are upon the earth, fornication, it goes through a list of inordinate affection, uncleanness, you know, which things we've been delivered of. So Amen. That's it. We got a minute left.
So. Amen. Yeah. So to continue to pray and to walk after holiness, we need to do that on a daily basis. There's another part to this, and I think I'm going to hold off a little bit. But I just want to just remind everybody, just, you know, if we just pick up like a daily devotion that has scripture, and like I do a 24-hour day, which is the thought, the meditation, and then the prayer. And that's a perfect way to practice how to be in his presence. If you can't, you know, if you're having a hard time, find something that you can meditate on, a daily devotional that not only, you know, gives you it gives you a scripture first, a little description, and then a prayer. And that's a good way to practice being in his presence, spending time. And then sit quietly after it and listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, directing into your life. So with that, you want to...
Yeah, I just want to say that...
And then pray for
it
us,
it seems the glory of God is here, man. And I just believe we're in an awesome time. And I just see miracles happening that are just harder ones you don't see as much. Just click, click, click. And not with just me, with people I've trained and everything else. It's like, I want to encourage everybody that's been praying or not been praying to just step out. It seems like God is really doing something in this hour.
Amen. It's okay.
So, Father, we ask you to bless these people, Lord, and...
Shalom.
Peace be with you in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless everyone.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of life. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
From the heart of the Everglades, this is Pastor Arlen Payne inviting you to join us every Wednesday at 5:15 a.m. and 5:15 p.m. for the Consider His Word radio program.
Consider His Word.
I was taking a trip on a plane the other day, just wishing that I could get out. When the man next to me saw the book in my hand and asked me what it was about. So I settled back in my seat, a bestseller, I said, a history, a mystery in one. Then I opened the book and began to read from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. Again, and for the first time here on earth, we learned that God could be a friend. And though he never ever did a single thing wrong, the angry crowds chose him. And then he walked down the road and died on the cross, and that was the end
of the beginning.